Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. Well, it's a holiday week, and I know there's a lot of people probably not working this week. Some companies just take the whole week off, for example. Zimcom New Media is not doing that. In fact, Cindy is somewhere up in the northern Illinois region doing some farmer in the field interviews. Let's just face it, the harvest this year was a little bit different than normal, and we're still doing a few harvest reports working with our good client, BASF. So she's out and about while I get to stay in a nice warm home office, and really appreciate it on a day like today. In this week's program, we're going to talk about farmer internet usage because the National Association of Farm Broadcasting has released findings from their internet usage study. They've kind of doled out some portions of this because it was a study done in several waves. In this case, they worked with Ted Haller of Teddy Media, and Ted talks about some of the top line findings, things that he thinks are especially relevant or important to agri-marketers to know. And to really get in depth with their study, you need to call them or go to the website nafb.com, and you can download a form even that you can check off the things you want to know and just send it to them and they'll get in touch with you. But in the meantime, let's hear what Ted's got to say about the latest NAFB internet usage study. Ted, the NAFB has just released some results of their internet usage study, and the release that was sent out, had some quotes from you in it about some of the findings, and I thought it might be good to just kind of chat with you about this study and the purpose and what NAFB has found that can be useful to anybody who's involved in agri-marketing. So before we go any further, just in case some people may not be familiar, you're Teddy's Media. Tell us a little bit about that first.
Yeah, well, actually, I decided to form my own company after working for people for all my 30 years in the business. Just kind of decided to form my own company towards the end of my career here. And basically, Teddy Media works with research as well as with media placements with folks. Wear a couple of different hats and try to keep everything as objective as possible.
Right. Well, that's kind of what happens when you have your own deal, you know? we certainly know that here at Zimcom, I can tell you that much.
Well, and now we're working with the NAFB on this study, which has been sort of a labor of love because, you know, it's a doing research of this magnitude where we went out and researched 2,225 producers. It is really exciting to ask them questions and hear the feedback.
Right. Well, and, you know, having been involved as long as you have in this thing we call ag marketing and communications, and myself as well, we have really seen things change. And that's why studies like this are important to do, because we're kind of into a point here where traditional forms of communication, broadcasting, magazine, television, are all very relevant, but there are now new ones out there. And, you know, if you're going to be communicating in today's world, you got to keep up with it, right?
That's correct. And, you know, what we're seeing is playing out the same as it always has, in that, you know, when another form of medium is sort of invented, and media is basically based on technology, let's face it, particularly today, it's the technology that shapes the medium. But what we're seeing today is that other media are not going away. Now, some revenue bases and stuff, the jury is a little out on some print vehicles, because the internet, there's no question about it, has damaged some print vehicles. Not so much in the ag arena as it has decimated newspapers in the consumer marketplace.
Yeah. So when you look at this study, you know, we don't need to go into all of the background of it, but I think probably the best thing for us to do in our time we've got is just look at some of the things that you found that really need to be pointed out or that you might want to draw attention to for people who want to go into this in more in depth. They can call NAFB or go to NAFB.com too. But I think it would be interesting to get your take from all of the media experience you've had over the years to what are the things that you see in here that are really the standout kind of items that you think people should be aware of?
Well, I think it's interesting that when as the internet grew, people really didn't have a true handle on how the target audience behaves relative to other segments. I had never seen a medium like the internet where people project their own usage and just automatically assume that everybody does the same thing. In the 30 years that I've been doing this, that's what struck me the most, was how people just assume that if they do something, everyone else does it. Whereas in other media, you don't necessarily see that.
Or conversely, that if they don't do something, then no one else does it either.
Then no one else does it either. And that's really, the internet is a unique animal. The average age of the farmer out there is in that 56, 57 range. So what you're really seeing is how does someone towards the end of the technology revolution and the age spectrum, how do they behave with this technology? And it's been rather interesting. But what we've seen in the highlights of the study is that no matter how you shake and dance, that there is a curve there of about 20% on the low end and about 50% on the high end that are extremely active on the internet depending upon which activity they're engaged in.
Yeah. And why don't you describe what some of those are? Because some people may not understand what we mean by that.
Well, the key things, the key activities right now appear to be searching, you know, for weather, et cetera, weather, local cash grains, local futures markets, and, of course, email. Those are the top four activities that they're still doing on the internet. It's really interesting when we ask them questions like, if you could build your own website, what would you put on it? And it was weather, futures, and local cash grains. Boom. You know, I mean, it just popped right up there again. The fourth item was, I don't know.
Well, and even for those that they did mention, here's a question I'll throw out at you in light of that finding is, do you think that when, whether it's an ag communications company, an agribusiness, if they're going to start a website to try to attract their customers or members, how important is it to put those items on their homepage? Because I won't mention them, but I saw a group recently that just sort of came out and bragged about, now you can come to their website, you can put in your zip code, and, you know, right there on the homepage, you'll see your weather, your markets, etc. And I'm thinking to myself, well, but I get them on my phone, and I get them all over the place. It looked to me like they were still trying to create what we used to call a portal, where you come here and you don't need to go anywhere else, you know?
What we found was that there is a very strong percentage of folks, like in the upper 20-25% range, that were very actively searching out company websites for information. So if you have a good company website or a category that they are seeking information from, they will find you without a weather report on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost seem to think that's just window dressing and people playing more than what the reality is. They're not going to a company website for the weather.
Yeah.
They're just not doing that.
Because they can go. I mean, shoot, weather.com.
They've got dozens of other opportunities. And you got to remember that probably about 25-30% of these people still have DTN coming straight into their house.
Hmm.
And so, you know, there are so many sources out there that they can go to.
Exactly. Well, tell me what this study found in terms of some of the age demographic, because I know that's and we're talking about farmers who are make a significant level of income, 100,000 plus, essentially.
Correct. And then we took it all the way up to the 500,000 plus, which, you know, probably the midpoint in the study, and we also have this demographic too, is the 250 plus. You know, because you can have 200 acres of corn and be popping in at 100,000 if you sold it right.
Right.
So, and that's not even a blip on a lot of the major companies' radar in terms of who their target audiences are. I mean, usually you've got to be 250 plus or in the 500 plus range in terms of acres, in terms of where they're really targeting you. But I would have to say that there were a couple of things we were looking for. And one of the things that we zeroed in on was the social media aspect of the internet and the farmer. Because that is probably, I don't want to say controversial, but probably the most misunderstood aspect of the internet and the farmer. In that this is again one of those things where it appears to be very hard for people to separate their existence with that of a 57-year-old farmer in Pottawatomie County, Iowa, on a dial-up modem, even though it's DSL.
Yeah.
And what we found is that our farmers on actively using social media, yes, probably no less, no more than any 57-year-old person with limited, you know, with internet capacity is doing. And, you know, in that, that's probably the most misunderstood one. And again, that number ranges in about the, down to a low of about 9% to a high of 18%, depending upon age. We found that one is specifically age sensitive.
Yeah.
That when you started dropping down, the social media aspect climbed. When you started taking upwards of 50 years and older, it was low.
Which we got
in the 10% range.
But we do have to point out that if you're over 50 years old, you're not old, okay? Just want to make that
point. Correct. That's correct. I guess I can say that because I'm 57.
and I'm over 52, so there you go. But
what it's basically showing is about 17-18% of the farmers are active in some form of social media. Which is a little on the low end compared to a lot of the other internet activities that are out there. But, again, that doesn't mean that's bad. What that is showing is that it's a growing, you know, everything's got to start someplace, and it's growing. I think there is a misconception, particularly amongst folks that work in our industry, that they project out and have a tendency to think everyone is doing something when they're not, and then vice versa, that, like you said, if they're not, they are. But there were some really encouraging things we saw. Podcasting looks like it's pretty, pretty strong, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of a viable phenomenon that's out there, you know, in the 19 to 17% range, which that was very healthy to see.
Well, and we look at statistics and just looked at some historical ones on it was part of a podcast, but we were looking just at a specific MP3 file that we had recorded, posted on the web. This is several years ago. Mm-hmm. And the number of times that audio file has been downloaded at this point is higher than a lot of the radio stations that we use, that the audience of a lot of the radio stations we used to broadcast over.
Yeah, and exactly. You know, in fact, if you look at the podcast, your podcasting probability is higher than your best radio networks that are out there. on a percentage basis. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm agreeing exactly with what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you know, we were a little selfish too in this survey for the NAFB, in that the NAFB were trying to look at the future, and you know, you want to try to be in step with the future and not rushing to catch up with it. And one of the things that emerged from this study is that farmers, producers, are hungry for local internet information. You know, there's a ton of places they can go to for national information. And, of course, there's weather that you can drill down locally. But in terms of local farm information, over 70% of the active online internet users said that they would go to a local website if a local farm broadcaster that they regularly listened to was running it.
Yeah.
Which was phenomenal. The other thing that they were looking at that they would be open to would be some kind of an electronic newsletter, an email type newsletter.
Yeah.
So the newsletters were really strong. That kind of surprised us how strong electronic newsletters are out there and how well they're actually being read.
So what did the findings from this, what does that say to NAFB as a farm broadcasting organization? What kind of message does it mean for the members, much less, you know, everyone else involved in agri-marketing?
Well, I think it means that in a handful, probably more than a handful, I don't want to underrate it, but there are some pioneers out there that have been doing an outstanding job on their websites for a while now. But if you are in farm broadcasting right now, down the road, a large portion of your farm broadcasting is probably going to be over the internet. That doesn't mean you're going to go away on terrestrial radio. You're not going to do that. But at the same token, there'll be more and more emphasis placed on in-depth stuff on a local website or
a
local newsletter.
That's a good point.
That's what we're seeing.
Because unfortunately, and I mean, I can speak to this from my own personal experience, in the, you know, what you said, terrestrial radio broadcast world, unfortunately, airtime devoted to farm programming has certainly been on the decline, and it's not gone. It probably never will be gone, you know.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be looking at other alternative channels to utilize, in a lot of cases, the content we're creating that we don't really have the ability to broadcast anymore, you know.
Exactly. If I've got a two minute hit in, and I've got to hit a weather update, top line market report, and then maybe one feature story or something, I might go a little bit into that story just to tease it, but then I'm going to send people to my website for the in-depth rest of the story.
Yeah.
You know, and quite honestly, the ag print vehicles have a head start on a lot of their websites, but they're, for the most part, they are not localized. And what we found from this survey is that producers are hungry for local stuff.
Absolutely.
Not the national, because they can get national at multiple sites. It's the local that they were learning for.
Well, they love to know what their neighbors are doing, basically.
Yeah.
Well, one more thing I'd like to touch on before we go here is, for the agri-marketer who's going to be deciding, I need to invest some money in advertising or public relations that's going to use this web-based stuff, okay? How do they measure whether or not that's actually worth it, since we don't really have the same kinds of things like the farm audience study, the you know, publications can report, of course, their subscribers.
Yeah.
But on the web, it's a lot of measurements, but there's a huge amount of misunderstanding about what those measurements mean.
I would agree with that. When you see things like 300,000 unique visitors a month to an agricultural website, Well, there's not 300,000 real farmers in the United States.
Exactly.
Okay, so the surprising thing is that probably they'd be lucky if maybe about, one-fifth of that number was actually producers. I think there's a lot of marketing people on there. And until they get to that point, you won't be able to break it out. But it's just like looking at the old Nielsen household numbers and projecting them back to demo numbers. There's always a difference between there. And folks will, you know, will deal with that. I would say that in terms of ag advertisers, from what we've seen, that the Internet, for a low-budget advertiser, the Internet is an absolute must. Okay?
Yeah.
Because they'll never get as big a bang for their buck as they can with the Internet. And for a mega advertiser, like we see with some of the crop protection folks, they're all over the Internet, and that makes all the sense in the world. Where the Internet gets tricky in terms of how you use it is when you're in that budget level of the 200,000-300,000 range and you're trying to cover the U.S. with it, it gets tricky because if you pull too much into the Internet, into areas that don't have the same impact, the impact coefficient, it can actually pull your plan down. The absolute must thing that we're seeing out there is search engine optimization.
Mm-hmm.
And the search engines popped up very well. And that's one of those ones where you gotta let us come see you before we tell you what search engines they were using. And
oh, yeah. Well,
as well as we found out, one piece of information that we were able to find out, even though this was not a site-specific study, we do know their portal or their opening Internet page.
Yes. Well, and I can tell you that from the time we got started in this web-based communications, the tools we use are all specifically, let's say it was accidental maybe on the beginning, but since then we've figured it out. But everything we do is geared around search engine optimization. And, you know, I can do a post on AgWired, and I can pretty much guarantee you, you're going to find that in a Google search keyword result within sometimes less than 5 or 6 hours even.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's absolutely critical from what we're seeing that if you did nothing else with the Internet, the two things you must do is have a decent company website to drive people to, and you must do search engine optimization in some form.
Yeah.
I mean, those were the two absolute musts that came out of the study.
Interesting. Well, I know that there is a lot more information in this study. And like you said, if people really want to kind of dig into this, first of all, they can go to NAFB.com. There is a PowerPoint presentation that gives you some of the top line information that we've sort of focused on here. But all they would have to do is contact the office if they'd like to have a more
Correct.
In-depth.
And the last page on the PowerPoint is a menu page, and they can also contact me, and I'll send them an Excel version of the menu page, too, if they would like to check off what data they want to see, and then we'll get back to folks with that data.
Okay, great. Well, how would they, first of all, before we close here, how do they get in touch with you then?
TeddyMedia@live.com.
All right.
You know, it sounds a lot better than it is, but.
I'm just glad to know you're alive, you know.
That's right. TeddyMedia@live.com, standing by.
Well, Ted, it's been great talking to you.
Well, thanks.
I think
this is a fun project.
Well, and you know, it's. I think we're going to see a lot more of it this year. We saw several come out in the last 12 months, even some agencies that have done some of their own work. It's, and all that put together starts to give you a clearer picture of this thing we call the World Wide Web and how you might use it to communicate with farmers or even to the consuming public about farming, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, again, thank you, Ted, and we'll look forward to seeing you somewhere.
Yeah. I'll probably pop up at the farm machinery shows the next place I'm popping up.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely be at both of them coming up.
Oh, that's right. Down at Ag Connect.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make that one, but I'll be at the farm machinery show.
Well, let's put it this way. It doesn't snow in Orlando.
You're right. And from what I understand, the way they're doing this one, it's very affordable, particularly for the producer.
Yeah.
I mean, the hotel rates are like $1.25 a night or something like that.
It's not bad.
Really nice.
And it's a good time of the year to be in Orlando.
It's an excellent time of the year to be in Orlando. It's an excellent time to be anywhere but Pottawatomie County, Iowa. Let me tell you.
All right. Well, thanks again, Ted.
All righty. And
we'll talk to you soon. As the NAFB study has found and others done here during the last year, farmer use of the internet is growing, and those various channels, whether they're of a social nature or, as Ted mentioned, podcasting, and we really didn't get into blogging so much, but all of those are being used in an increasing basis by farmers and pretty much finding track with general public. So I think we're going to see a continued growth in the use of this new media mechanism to communicate to farmers, and we'll try our best here at ZimCom to stay on the cutting edge of that and help you in any way that we can. So that is our ZimCast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the ZimCast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.